Amen. Hallelujah. We truly want to see them rise up. Amen. And we got to give them opportunity to rise. Amen. But, you know, this week was a good week. Amen. First week of the year. Amen. And opportunity to serve. Amen. Opportunity to serve. Starting out the gate. Amen. And we thank the Lord that, you know, he allowed us to, some of us, amen, some of the leaders, amen, a number of us to get away this past week, amen, and spend some time in prayer and planning and sharing and just looking at what God has for a living faith and this coming year and how he wants us to function, amen, and flow. And how many of us are believing for greater? Amen. I know I am. I'm believing for greater, amen. So, you know, get ready for more. Get ready, amen, for what the Lord wants to do in us, amen. Because how many remember what we said last week where our theme is going to be? Time to do, amen. Expanding the kingdom of God, amen. And how do we expand the kingdom? We're going to deal with some of that this morning. You know, just to elaborate on that some, amen, because truly it takes work to expand anything, right? Man, for us, amen, we gotta put in some work. We gotta do this or whatever it takes, amen, to bring increase and expansion into our lives. If you want to build your church, if you want to build your business, amen, for your family to expand, you gotta do some work. Amen. And a lot of things that just don't happen automatically. And we know we live in a time, amen, when there's so much coming against the church of God, amen, and trying to minimize or cancel or stop the church from going forth, but we got to continue to trust God and believe that he is who he said he is. And the Bible teaches us what? Amen. You know, he said upon this rock, when he was talking to Peter, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So no matter what the world tries to do, they can't stop us. Amen. Because we are God's people, and we just thank God for him. Amen. I want to just take a quick moment, amen, to acknowledge our sister Katia, amen, one of our newest members over there, amen. Amen. You know, we thank God, amen, for Kayla, amen. Kyla, see how, just help me, Kyla. I was close. Amen. I was close. Amen. Amen. Kyla Porter. Amen, baby Porter. I'm looking at you. We thank God for them being, amen, coming on out and being with us today, amen, and her mom's yet being with us here in the state of Washington, amen, thank God for mom, you know, but we look, amen, we are the body of Christ, amen, there's no question about that, we are the body of Christ, his hands and his feet, amen, his voice, amen, those that are here to do the work of the kingdom, amen, and as we recognize that, you know, not only are we the body of Christ, amen, but we have, because we are the body of Christ, he has mandated some things for us to do. Amen. Can you imagine, you know, sometimes we don't want to imagine that, but sometimes the body don't want to do what the mind says. Amen? And then when you say, then you realize when that happens, you have what? A problem. Amen. So we seek doctors, we seek therapy, we seek all kinds of things, because we know when the body don't cooperate with the mind, you can't get things done. Amen. And in this case, I'm referring to Christ, God. He is the mind. Amen. And we are the body. And he's mandated things that he wants us to do. Amen. For the kingdom. Amen. For the expansion of his kingdom. He has given each and every one of us. Everybody say everybody. Everybody. That includes everybody. He's given each and every one of us gifts and talents. Amen. For his kingdom. For the edification of the kingdom. For the edification of the church. For the expansion of his kingdom in the earth. Amen. Every one of us have something that God wants us to do. Amen. It's just not just the pastors and the leaders and the elders and the deacons, amen, or the evangelists, but it's for everybody has something to do for the kingdom of God. Amen. And I really want that to sink in, because sometimes we come to receive only. We come to church. And we say, when I come to church, I'm doing. That's my doing. No. We come here to the church to be equipped, to be mobilized. amen, to be encouraged, amen, to get clarity and understanding on what it is that we need to be doing, amen. But going to church is not the doing of being a Christian. The doing of being a Christian is living it out every day. Amen. The doing is being light and salt in the earth. Amen. See, if, you know, if we're the salt, amen, this is the salt shaker. But as long as you leave the salt in the shaker on your stove or on your table, your food don't get seasoned. You can say, I got salt. Amen. But if you don't get it out that container and shake it and then and apply it to something, it's meaningless, it's useless. And it's the same. If that all we do is come to church, amen, and the rest of the 6.5 days, because we don't usually give God the whole day, you know, the rest of the 6.5 days of the week, we don't do anything for the kingdom, amen, I'll say this, and I'm not beating up on nobody, I'm just speaking the truth. If we don't do anything else, we are useless salt. We have lost our savor, and God is not happy with that, amen. So we got to ask ourselves, what it is that I'm, what am I doing, amen, to be salt and light? You know, if we don't let our light shine, what do you say? You know, even the kids used to sing a little song, what about the light? This little light of mine, I'm going to put it under a bushel. Is that how it went? I'm going to let it shine at home. No, he said, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? How many of y'all know that little song? Amen. Yeah, y'all got some church folk up in here. Amen. Yeah, we do. Amen. I'm going to let it shine, Amen. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants our light to shine, amen. You know, and he wants us to illuminate places of darkness. See, when you come up in here, there's all kind of light. Amen. But when you go on your job, when you find yourself in the marketplace, when you find yourself in different places, sometimes we can feel the darkness. You can see the darkness. You hear the darkness. Amen. And we need to be the one bringing the light into the situation, not joining the darkness. And what do I mean by that? Sometimes we join in on the ungodly conversations and actions and so forth. You're not bringing light. You're becoming part of the dark. Amen. But we have a mandate because you are no more your own. You're bought with a price. Right? You're supposed to represent him. I'm supposed to represent him in every situation. Isn't that right? Amen. Because now my life is not mine, but it's his. Amen. It's for the glory of the kingdom. You know, so I want to begin by reading a parable. Amen. To you. Amen. Out of the book of Matthew. But before I do, allow me just to kind of set a little stage here. This passage is coming out of the Sermon of the Mount. On the Mount. Amen. When Jesus, a man had come out of the temple, and he's speaking unto the crowd that was following, amen. And this Sermon on the Mount, amen, took place, amen, throughout chapter 24 and 25 in the book of Matthew. And he lays out a lot of information, amen. He speaks about the coming of the Lord, amen. He speaks about, you know, the expectation that God has for you and I. He speaks in many parables in this sermon that he gives. Amen. And I just want to look at this one real quick and help us to see, because in as he's speaking, you know, this sermon, amen, which we don't have time to cover the whole thing. Like I said, it's two full chapters plus. But as he's speaking, amen, you know, he skillfully, you know, lays in there what God expects of us. All right. Amen. And it can be missed. Amen. But we don't want to miss it. Amen. 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 He spoke about the end times. Amen. And all these things was in there. But amen. He weaves in the responsibility of the saints of the Lord. Amen. And he touches on the rewards and the punishments. And all in this sermon, he just kind of gives us a huge summation of what's to come early in his ministry. You know, so we're going to pick up in chapter 25, verse 14, amen, and we'll read down to verse number 30. Amen. So you hear me, and I really pay attention to what he's saying here. He said, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants, you hear what he said, his own servants, amen, and delivered unto them his goods. Amen. His gifts, his talents, his abilities, his desires. Amen. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. and every man to every man according to his several ability. In other words, he didn't give them something that they couldn't handle. He's talking, remember, he's talking to us too. Amen? His own, amen, according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. In other words, he doubled what he was given. Right. Amen. And the Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. How many of us want to hear the Lord say that? Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And on 22 he says, and also he that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents. Again, doubling what he had received. He said, 2 talents besides them. And the Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I love that. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Don't you want to enter into the joy of the Lord? Amen. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I know thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed, or where you haven't spread or scattered. Amen. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. In other words, he said, I was afraid because I knew you're a hard man, and I know that you reap where you didn't sow, and where you gather where you didn't scatter, amen. And so he's looking at the Lord, and he's saying, you're hard. I mean, you have expectations, and you go wherever you want to go and do what you want to do. So all these excuses, as I looked at this, really didn't negate the reason why he didn't apply the talent. He's just making excuses. I was afraid. You know, I'd be afraid not to do something, right? So when he said, so here is your talent, just gave him back what he already had. Didn't do anything with it. Didn't gain anything, amen. And that's not what the Lord intended for him to do. So in verse 26, he said, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Notice, the man didn't lose the talent. He just didn't use the talent. Right. And because of that, the first thing his master said, he called him wicked. What? Wicked. And then he called him what? Slothful. What does it mean to be slothful? Lazy. Oh, see, y'all already know. Lazy. Amen. So I've given you something that I want you to use to increase my kingdom, amen, to increase my goods, and you were too lazy, too wicked to use it. So when I come, what I gave you didn't increase nothing. It didn't benefit me at all. It didn't benefit my kingdom. It didn't benefit those around you. It didn't do anything, and you giving it back to me like I'm done with this. Are y'all hearing me? And so he looked at him, and he went on, amen, after he called him wicked and slothful, he said, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gathered where I have not strawed. And I paused at that, and I looked, why would he not, you know, do these things? Why is he saying, you knew I don't I reap where I haven't sown, or I don't gather where I haven't scattered any seed. Why is that? Why can he say that and be of a good mind? Is he taking somebody else's stuff? No. What he's letting him know is that's why I have you. Because I'm going on a journey, but I left you here to reap and to scatter where I didn't. So I left you here to do those things on my behalf. Amen. And you chose not to do it on my behalf, so therefore there was no gathering in, no increase, nothing coming into my barns, if I could use that word. Amen. So he's letting him know, you knew, amen. Thou oughtest therefore have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. It was usury. Usury is the old word for interest or increase. Amen. And as we look at what he's saying, you should have put my money to work. Amen. You should have put my money, or as he's talking, if we go back to the beginning, my talents and the gifts that I gave you, you should have put it to work. So when I came back, amen, I could see increase from what I've given you. Amen. But see, you chose to do nothing. Hold it, but do nothing with it for the good of the kingdom. Amen. And that's not a good place to be, right? He said, therefore, take therefore, he's talking to the others, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Wow. In other words, he's going to take it and give it to somebody that's going to produce. Amen. He's going to take it and give it to somebody that's busy. Amen. Because he wasn't doing nothing with it. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him which hath not shall be taken away. In other words, if you're not using it, he's going to give it to somebody that will. Right? Amen. But he didn't stop there. He says, it's going to be taken away that which he hath, amen, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You might be thinking, well, Pastor David, that's not a happy story. Right? But it is, depending on which side you're on. Amen, because, you know, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Right? I mean, look, the first 2, amen, they had a happy ending. Slip your hand up in the air if you want a happy ending. Hallelujah. All right. So we get it, right? And so when he says time to do, he's saying now it's up to you. I've given you gifts. I've given you talents. I've given you opportunity and, you know, all these things. And so it's up to you. What are you going to do with it? It's time out for not doing anything. It's time out for sitting on that talent, amen, whether it's, like I said, time, treasure, talent, gifts, whatever it is that God has given you, amen, knowing that we are no more our own, that we are bought with a price, amen, and now the scripture said, now the life that I now live is not I, but Christ that liveth in me, amen. All these things he's letting us know, you're living first and foremost is for the kingdom of God. If you don't want that to be a part of your life, you've made the wrong choice. And I don't think we've made the wrong choice. We made the best choice, right? But it's time for us to yield to it, amen. So let me be clear in what we're saying here. Our king is not interested in wealth and riches. He's not interested, amen, in titles and positions and status or anything, amen, that might pique the interest of the men and women of this world. He's not interested in those things, amen. You know, because the things that we strive after in this life are only things that are fleeting. That means, I mean, they're quick to go away. They're temporary, amen. They're carnal, amen. Those things are fleeting, amen. They perish with the using. Amen. No matter how much you attain or no matter how much you or I, amen, the heights that we might achieve, none of these things, amen, are going to last forever. None of these things, amen, are we going to be able to take with us when we depart from this earth. I've witnessed it myself. You know, I've seen people come and go. Amen. And nobody has taken anything with them.
Amen.
Least of all this body that we spend so much time serving. Let that sink in.
Amen.
This body ain't even going with you.
Come on,
you leaving it behind.
Yep.
So anything that you can see, touch, taste, or smell ain't going. This is a spiritual life that we're living. And we need to allow that to sink in. But oftentimes, because we can see, touch, taste, and smell it, we want it more than what we don't see, touch, taste, or smell. And it becomes the natural, amen, the tangible becomes more real to us, amen. And it's our goal, amen, to help us to realize that all of this is temporary. But the kingdom of God is eternal. Amen. And we have been given opportunity, amen, to enter into the kingdom of God even now to experience, amen, his love and his grace and all those things that come with it now and in the time to come. But yet first we've got to make some choices to do what he's given us to do. You know, I can't take nothing with me. I always say, you know, you don't see a hearse following a, you know, a hearse being followed by a U-Haul truck. You don't see that. Amen. You see a lot of people that were grieving and weeping, amen, but they know they can't take nothing with them, even though some cultures have tried to put riches in the grave, but it just stayed there until the grave robbers came. Amen. And they took use of the stuff, or the archaeologists came and put it in the museum. You know, but the one that passed away, they couldn't do nothing with it. Amen. And I drive that point home because sometimes we're so busy holding on and striving and seeking after, amen, that we forget that it's temporary. It's temporary. But I want us to get to a place to realize this is eternal. What God has offered and made available to us, amen, is eternal, amen. So we can't take none of that stuff with us, amen. So don't get it twisted, brothers and sisters. Don't get it twisted. This is a life that is a spiritual one, amen, which in righteousness and, you know, where the righteousness of our living according to God's word, his will, and by his spirit, amen, is going to be identified and separated from the unrighteous, right? And when that separation takes place, I know what side we all want to be on. We want to be on the side of the righteous, isn't that right? Amen. And not just by our words alone, but by our actions. Amen. Even as Pastor Linda was saying, just one of our praise is an action. Amen. It, you know, our kids come home and they get a good grade and we can praise them, but what they're looking for? They're looking for a reward too. Isn't that right? Oh, some of y'all been there and like, okay, is that all you got for me? You know, I mean, see, some people will praise you when you have a birthday or an anniversary, you know, and they give you a card. And the first thing you do when you open that card, you're not looking for the words. Right? So you're going to give me, you're going to praise me. I'm expecting a little reward for what I, you know, and you open that card and your countenance falls. Like, well, all you got. So words are great. But we're looking for more. And God understands that, even in this parable, he shows them that. Because when he came back and the ones that did good, he didn't just praise them and say, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Yes, yes.
But what did he do? He said, enter into my joy. Amen. And he made a ruler over many things, over all his. See, so there's a reward. When you do good, God, I don't want to go down that road right now. You know, but when we understand that God sees and understands, but he wants us to understand that he has so much in store for all of us. But in order to have access to it, he wants us to bring somebody else along the way. He wants us to do the work that he's given. He wants us to use the gifts and the talents that he's placed in us, amen, for the edification of the body of Christ, amen, for the expanding of his kingdom, amen, for the reaching of souls is most and far most, amen. He wants us to understand that. Amen. We have to work in the kingdom, amen, to get things done. Amen. So I want us to hear that and understand it. You know, there were some things as I've been meditating on this word for a few months now. And one of the things, I'm going to give you a list of some things that he gave me that in order to do his will, we've got to do. We've got to choose, amen, some pointers, if you would, amen, if we want to hear the Lord say, well done. You know, and some of the pointers, just like four pointers that he gave me. Amen. The first one is that we must do it as unto him. In other words, submit yourself completely to the Lord. That's the first step. It's being completely submitted unto the Lord. What does that look like? Whatever he says, we do. Amen. We don't make choices and decisions, amen, that are contrary to his directions in our lives. And the word of God is full of direction. Amen. It's full of direction. And so we want to be fully committed unto him, completely committed unto him every day of the week, every hour of the day. You know, you wake up in the morning and the Lord is on your mind.
Hallelujah.
Someone says, how does that happen? Well, did you go to sleep with him on your mind? How does that? You have to purpose. You know, and thank him for another day. Thank him for getting you through today. Thank him for watching over you all night long. Amen. And it's just committed unto him. You know, we can't fully serve the Lord nor do his will completely until we're fully submitted unto him. Now, again, we can come to church on Sunday and Bible study on Wednesday for the few that show up. And we can, you know, spend time, you know, reading his word, you know, in our meditation time and so forth. But what do we do when we're not in church? What do we do when we're not at Bible study? What do we do when we're not meditating or doing our devotion? That's the times that count the most. Amen. We get fueled up in those other times. Amen. But when it comes time to do the work, amen, and be the light and be the salt, we may seem to forget. Amen. You know, me and Pastor Linda was watching this video a little while ago. Amen. We saw this video. Amen. This young lady was having a baby. And her mother, and I believe it was her mother-in-law that was there. And they didn't get along with each other. Not at all. They didn't like each other for whatever reason. Amen. But while she was in the labor room, you know, delivering the baby, one was on one side of the bed and the other one was on, they praying, amen, and they speaking in tongues, amen, and they calling hallelujah in the name of the Lord. They just doing this. But not many minutes later, the same two ladies were in the hallway, and they began to exchange words. And next thing you know, they're on the floor fighting. They just—it's the same two. I mean, they had it on video. The same two people had to come and break them up and pull them apart. But this is the same two. He said, oh, "Hold it." That comes to my mind because what am I saying? No matter what is happening, you need to be submitted to God. Amen. If just one of them would have been submitted to God, the fight couldn't have took place. Because she would have walked away. Right? You know, but what happens is when we get in our feelings, we get in our flesh, amen, all the holiness has to take a step back. Amen. And what did God didn't get no praise out of that. So that's what I'm talking about, being fully submitted to him, willing to suffer wrong for what? Righteousness' sake. amen, whatsoever we do, wherever we go, however we manage it, our life, amen, we've got to put God first. And if we do that, amen, then he gets the glory out of our lives. Even in the difficult times, amen, we can let him get the glory out of our life. Amen. The second thing that he dropped on me, and I wrote this one on a post-it note on my desk as I was sitting in there, and it's been just sitting there as I've been praying and preparing and thinking about coming into this year. Amen. But the second thing he gave me to share with you is that he wants us as his children to walk in, and this is what he gave me, a perpetual state of forgiveness. Now, first, you got to be submitted to him before you can even do this. Amen. But to walk in a perpetual, what does it mean, perpetual? It's constant. It's ongoing. Without ceasing. Amen. Perpetual state of forgiveness. Amen. We've been given, we have been forgiven. You and I have been forgiven. So it's incumbent upon us to be quick to forgive others.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes we say, I got to pray about it. Who are you praying to? The one that told you to forgive? You know, but we do that, amen. He said, you know, he wants us to forgive quickly. Amen. Be reconciled quickly. You know, lest the Lord come and you're not ready because you haven't forgiven. Amen. So he wants us to be in a perpetual state of forgiveness, amen, because we have been forgiveness. Amen. So we got to learn how to quickly forgive others. This means it's an obligation. As a child of God, you are obligated to forgive others. That don't feel good to some of us. Right? In other words, as a child of God, it's mandatory.
Yes, yes,
yes.
That you forgive quickly. But you don't understand what they... No. That's why they need forgiveness. And leave the rest up to God. Because if you saw it, he saw it. If you felt it, he felt it. If you deal with it, you in trouble. But if he deals with it, you are free. So we got to be that mind to say, you know what, quick to forgive. It's a binding requirement. It's essential for us to forgive. And why am I pressing this one so hard? It's because I know why he dropped it on me. Amen. Because sometimes we'll forgive, other times we choose not to. And we choose to hold on to this or that, or feel like this person or that person is not worthy of forgiveness. Because they've exceeded our measure of where forgiveness, we feel like forgiveness should be given. But that's not God's way of doing things. He goes so far to let us know, if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. Well, I didn't do nothing wrong. Unforgiveness is a sin. And if you don't forgive, amen, you are walking in unforgiveness, amen, because why? Now, hear what I'm saying. Why? Because, yeah, you understand what they did was wrong. It felt bad. It wasn't right. Ain't no way you can qualify it as right. Amen. But when you choose not to forgive them, you've passed judgment on them. They're not worthy. And they may not be, but you're not the judge. I'm not the judge. Now, I'm talking about doing the work, time to do. Sometimes some of us need to start right there.
Amen.
Is to start forgiving. So that we can get that weight off of us and we can hear clearer from God. You know, sometimes we got to start on the inside because we haven't done all the work on the inside. We can have all these accolades and all the great things that we did, but we got a bunch of ook on the inside. I don't even know how to spell ook, but it's in there. But here's the key. God sees it.
That's right.
He knows when we have an unforgiving heart.
Amen.
And it grieves him. And I know none of us want to grieve God.
Amen.
So we need to look at this, amen, a perpetual state of forgiveness. You don't get to choose who is forgivable.
That's right. Amen.
I don't get to choose who's
amen.
Forgivable.
Thank
amen. That's all up to God. You know, David said in Psalms 51, he said, unto thee and thee alone have I sinned and done this great evil in thy sight. You know, and what was he talking about? He was talking about the time when he took Uriah's wife. While Uriah was at the battle fighting for the country, fighting under the orders of his king, David. And he took Uriah's wife for himself and impregnated her and then tried to cover it up. Brought him home from the battle hoping he would go in so now that they'll think it was his baby, but he refused to even go into his own house because he knew it wasn't right. His comrades are fighting and you won't send me home? So he laid at the king's door all night long. Amen. So when that didn't work, he gave letter to be given unto him. Amen. To set him in the hottest part of the battle where he knew he would be killed. That's sinful. And that's what would they call that in court today? Premeditated. Premeditated murder. I mean, he set him up to get rid of him. So when King David, a man after God's own heart, amen, penned the Psalms 51, he said, against thee and thee alone. No, you had a man killed. You took his wife. You sinned against her. You sinned against him. But he's saying, I only sinned against you. And he was right. Because the only one that can forgive sin is God. So when we look at it clearly and understandably, when I sin against you, I'm really sinning against God. I'm wronging you. I'm defrauding you. But you can't call that out. Amen. It's up to God. He said he is the only one that can forgive sin. Now you can forgive me for doing you wrong, for hurting you, amen, for breaking you down, whatever I did to you, amen. But and I can come to you, or you can choose to say, you know, I forgive you for what you did. But until I repent to God for what I did, I can get your forgiveness all day long, but whose forgiveness do I really need? His. And once I got his forgiveness, I'm good. I'm good. So we got to grab hold of that. We're talking about beginning this stuff on the inside that holds us and keeps us, amen, in ways that sometimes we don't even understand. Keeps us stuck, keeps us in that place, amen. But we are obligated. Let them go. Because what happens is when you let them go, you're really freeing yourself. Right? You know, I mean, unforgiveness, I often say it like this, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for them to die. Because that unforgiveness is poison in your spirit. And you want them to die. You want to see them fall over. You want to see them punished, whatever the case might be. No, that's up to God. So he wants us to be in that state of forgiveness. Let me move on from this one. But I really want us to get this. As a child of God, we cannot hold things. Because it separates us from him. And that person becomes more important than God himself. And that shouldn't make any sense. Number three, amen, he said, love like crazy. Crazy love. Love like crazy. Amen. Think about that for a minute. And it even includes that person that wronged you. Love like crazy. Right? And it's crazy to love people who hurt you. And love is, you know, like she was talking about this morning, you know, love is also an action word. Because what the scripture tell us, you know, to do good to them who despitefully use you. Amen? Huh? It tells us to do something, takes action, amen, that shows you're good toward their wrongs. And even that just don't make sense sometimes. How do you think I'm going? But y'all ever seen, you know, the different testimonies where people have forgiven grievous things, even the loss of a child, and they forgive the person that, and you know, I've heard Christians, I don't know how they could do that. I don't know how they could do that. I know they trust God. They're operating in the spirit of God, not their own spirit, not their own mind. Amen. And wanting to be close to God, wanting to be right with God is more important than being angry. Amen. So he wants us to love like crazy. Nothing makes you stand out more as a genuine, authentic Christian, amen, a child of God, more than loving somebody that hurts you. Letting it go, forgiving them, nothing, because that's peculiar. That's strange to the natural man, let alone being strange to many Christians. That's strange. But the Bible said we're peculiar people. We should be different. So if we do these things, amen, and practice them, it will make a huge difference, and it also frees us up to love people like God wants us to love people. To do the work that he wants us to do. To live for him and be the light that he wants us to be. Yeah. Amen. It's easy, you know, to love those who do good to you.
Right.
Amen. And to bless them. That's easy. Anybody can do that. You don't even need no God to do that.
Right.
You're just showing appreciation because it was good to you. They invited you to dinner. You invite them to dinner. You know, we just reciprocating goodness with one another. But what's that about that person that can't invite you to dinner? Hello? What about that person that shows up, amen, and they ain't got nothing to offer?
Come on, Jesus.
And we say, well, go and be warned. No, he tells us, amen, to do something about it. Amen. He tells us, amen, to take action, to be the light, to be the salt. Amen. These are the things that he wants us to do. Amen. But see, when you love him, sometimes you God wants us to love somebody, and we can't even see no benefit in it. You know, often we love those that there's a benefit. I know it's in the room. Amen. We make friends with people that we know that relationship going to have a benefit. You know, I like to, you know, be friends with people who think like me. I like to be friends with people who are, you know, equal to my station in life. You know, because I know, you know, we the same. You know, and they think like I think. That's the part of the problem. Because you're not going to be challenged.
That's right.
Amen. And just not that relationship ain't going to bring no growth to you.
That's right.
Amen. But you need to enter in with somebody that you can help. Step in and help somebody who's not at your station, whatever that might be. In life, or allow yourself, amen, to befriend somebody and help somebody that you look up to.
Mm-hmm.
But then that might make me feel less than. So we got, you know, certain categories we'll stay in. But he says, no. You know, sometimes we look, amen, and we see the boss on our job, amen. The coach of our kids' team, we know they don't know God. You know, we know that they need more Jesus. You know, but if I go talking this Jesus stuff, I might lose my job.
Lord, come on, Apostle,
preach it. If I try to get close to the coach, they might kick my kid off the team. Because I'm too religious. No. He wants us to see people as he sees people who need him, no matter what, who they are, what their station is in life. So it says, love like crazy. Amen. What's that telling you and me? It's crazy. And you should feel it crazy when you're doing it. Right? That's the only time you know you're loving like crazy. Because if it's comfortable to you, you're not challenging yourself. But he says, go to the point where it's uncomfortable just to love on them and to bless them, even though they're mistreating you, even though they're acting crazy. You respond in the way God wants you to, as if you were Jesus.
Come on.
You know, you remember that bracelet? Right? Yeah, y'all know. What would Jesus do? You know, when you get in that place and somebody done got on your last reserve nerve, you know, when you thought nobody was going to get and they got to that one, amen. He said, what would Jesus do? And don't let the devil tell you strike him dead, because that's not what he would do. Because I'll tell you what Jesus would do for that person, amen, that you're having a hard time with. I'll tell you exactly what Jesus would do. He would go to the cross for them. Because he did. For them. So how far are you willing to go? Well, I think I struck a nerve. Greater friend hath no man than this. Greater love, excuse me, hath no man than this. That a man would lay down his life. But they ain't my friend. See, I'm already ahead of you. So you got to ask yourself, why ain't they your friend? What part are you doing to befriend them? What part are you doing, amen? Why don't you see them as a friend, even though they're crazy? Amen. See, we got to adjust our mindset. How can I help this crazy person? How can I show this crazy? I'm using y'all thoughts. How can I show this crazy person the love of God? How can I be a light to this crazy person right now? How can I let them know that God loves them no matter how crazy they is? See, when we talk about love like crazy, that gets you completely out of your box. And it says, do it. You know, we was talking, I don't know what we was talking about up there, but we, you know, I was thought reminded of a book that a young lady wrote. She said, do it scared. Do it scared, because you don't know the outcome.
That's right.
But you're doing it in obedience to God. In obedience to God. You are his representative. Remember? Aiming to be what? God's representative. Amen. And see, so we got to recognize, if I'm aiming to be a kingdom representative to this crazy person, I'm still on that track with y'all.
Amen.
Then what do I need to do for them? What do I need to show them? How do I need to respond to them? This is crazy, but he told me to love like crazy. I got help. We need to see what he's saying when it's time to do, because he's going to ask us to do some crazy things. He's going to ask us, amen, to step out into some uncharted territories, to love people, amen, and to reach people, for the kingdom is not always convenient. It's not always easy. To use your gifts and talents, amen, is not always going to be on Sunday morning. Amen. But he wants us to use those things for his glory. When he's unctioning us by his spirit, amen, and you feel it and you're struggling on the inside whether you should do it or not, why are you wrestling with God? Just do it. That's him, you know, provoking you, amen, to be the light, to be salt in that situation. Amen. To represent him, amen, because he's already talked to us about that. Now he wants us to do, to apply what he's given us. So that when he comes, he can see the increase that has come from the gifts that he gave you, the talent that he's given you. Amen. So he can look at you and say, well done. He's not going to say well done if all we did is come to church. And sing in the choir or the praise and worship team. And, you know, he's not gonna say well done just because, you know, I bring a word. He's gonna say well done according to what I've done for him and for his kingdom, to increase his kingdom. Amen. We're the children of God. And he's given us various gifts, amen, all these things to use for him. But what are we doing with it? You know, what are we doing? You know, if I was to ask you that question, what are you currently doing in the kingdom of God in preparation for his coming. Not the person next to you, but what are you doing in preparation for the coming of the Lord? I already eliminated coming to church. That's not the doing he's talking about. Singing with a group, that's not the doing he's talking about. He's talking about doing something out there. He's talking about doing something that is going to increase his kingdom. Now, when I talk about the increase of the kingdom, we're not talking about property. We're not talking about things and stuff, because remember, we can't take none of that with us. The scripture lets us know we can't take, you know, all those things. Amen. So what are we doing? Will you be ready when he shows up? Will he say to you or to me, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter ye into my rest"? Will he give us more because we've been faithful over the few gifts that he's given us? Because you and I, we need to increase his kingdom. Amen. Look what he said to the Sermon on the Mount earlier in chapter 24. I want to read this to you. Starting at verse 44, he said, "Therefore, be ye also ready." First thing I want you to do is be ready. He said, "For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant?" Remember what he called the other one? Wicked and slothful. But he said, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant?" This is before he even made the other statements. "Whom the Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Doing what he told him to do, doing what he gave him to do. "Amen. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, 'My Lord delayeth his coming,' and shall begin to smite his fellow servants," you know, that biting and devouring and all that stuff, you know, "and he said, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." See, I don't want to be that wicked servant. And I know none of us want to be that wicked servant. But if we're not doing what God told us to do, we got to get about our Father's business. We got to be about his business, amen. We got to be about the Lord's work, amen, knowing that we are an extension of him in the earth. We are his body, amen. And you know, Jesus was a great example, amen, when he came down, you know, and showed us how to go in and out amongst others. And someone said, "Well, that was Jesus." You know, when he was in the earth, he operated completely in his humanity. What do you mean by that? He did not use any of his divine power that was available to him. That, you know, the scripture tells us in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead, bodily, it says. In other words, it's telling us the fullness of God was in that body. The fullness of God. But yet he chose to operate, limit himself to operate in his humanity. Say, "Well, he did miracles." Read it again. You know, he did it in the Father's name. Amen. Just like we should be doing in the Father's name. Amen. He showed us, amen, that these things are possible even through our humanity, to do great things if we would just believe and step into that realm. Matthew 9:35 says this, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sick and every disease among the people in his humanity. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I wonder who he sent. If you're really unwondering, it was us. Because when he left, one of the last things he told his disciples, you know, is go and make disciples of men, baptizing them. This was at the end of Matthew. And he said, go and make disciples of men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He gave us a charge through them. He sent them, therefore he sent us through them to go. He said to the Lord, and we can look around and see, amen, that the harvest is plentiful. Yes. But the laborers are becoming fewer and fewer. And that's why I believe God is saying time to do the work, time to make a difference, time to lift up his name, time to begin to reap the harvest that's so white for the reaping. You know, they would look out on the field and they would see, amen, the wheat is beginning to turn white. It's ready. It's ready to be harvested. It's ready to be brought in. Amen. And we can look at the condition of our world, amen, and people are looking for answers. People are looking for a way out. People are looking for help. And we have the answer. We have the help, amen, and it doesn't do them any good, amen, if all we do is come to church on Sunday and Bible study and not do the work that he's given us to do, to get out there and to do. Remember he told them, amen, you know, don't lay up your treasure, amen, in the earth. You know, I think about, as I was saying earlier, you can't take nothing with you. But then this scripture dropped in my spirit, amen, in Matthew the 6th chapter. And he said, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon the earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I begin to ponder, and I begin to look at this and say, well, what treasure is he talking about that I can lay up in heaven? I got salvation. Amen. You know, I've been, you know, abiding in him, and he's abiding me in the spirit. So what is the treasure that he says I can lay up in heaven? And then he brought me, you know, and I'm not going to read it, but he brought me to the story of the rich young ruler. When the rich young ruler came and he said, what must I do? And Jesus gave him a list of things. And he said, well, I've done all those things from my youth up. You know, he was proud of himself. I've done that. But what lack I yet? And he told him to go and to sell all that he had and give to the poor. Amen. And to come and follow me, and you will have treasure in this life and in that to come. What was the treasure that was so important that to Jesus? What is the treasure that is laid up in heaven? What is the treasure, amen, that he's talking about? What's the treasure that we can have laid up in heaven? And that I can understand. And you know what he revealed to me? Jesus is hardest for what? People. He came to seek and to save them that were lost. And as he told the rich young ruler to do, to bless people, to be a blessing to people. Take all that you got and be a blessing to people. Amen. And just in my mind, I begin to say, you know what? When can you imagine when you get to heaven, amen, if you have a heart for people, amen, that becomes a treasure, amen, that can be redeemed, amen, and that now when you get before God in the pearly gates and when you get to the New Jerusalem and you begin to see, oh, I remember God used me to witness to him and he used me to be a help to her. And that's the treasure. That's the people are the treasure. And he said, where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. I mean, the other way around, where your treasure is, there will you. When you begin to treasure people, it makes all the difference in the world. Because you can't take nothing to heaven with you but people. You can be used by him, amen, to bring people with you to heaven. That's the only thing you can take with you is some people. So you're willing to take somebody with you? We got to first begin to have a heart for people. And then when we have a heart for people, we begin to treasure them no matter how crazy they are.
Amen.
That's when you can love them like crazy. Amen. That's when you can forgive them quickly. And stay in a perpetual state of forgiveness because you treasure people. Not things which are going to perish with you. Not things which are going to be destroyed. Amen. But people. Sometimes we say, well, I don't like people. I don't want to be. Well, if you want to be like Jesus, you better start falling in love with some people. You better start letting him use you to be a blessing to some people. Amen. So now you got treasure laid up in heaven because why? You got people waiting on you. You got people coming behind you. You got people that's going to say, thank you for taking time to love on me. Thank you for taking time to forgive me. Thank you for taking time to share your love on earth with me. Change my life and look at now. We're in eternity together because of what you did. How you let God use you to treasure people. That's the doing. That's how we expand his kingdom. It's not buildings and programs. We expand his kingdom by expanding and increasing more people in the kingdom of God. That's the expanse that he's talking about. It's people. A heart for people. You know, I see it, amen, we could do all this stuff and have great campuses and buildings and programs and all that. But if the people aren't number one, none of the rest of that matters to God. We got to have a heart for people. And if you don't, say, Lord, give me a heart for people. Especially the broken. The outcast. The disenfranchised. Those that everyone is looking down on, Lord, help me to lift them up.
Yes.
People, we all need God.
Yes.
Let's stand. But he wants us to have a treasure of people in our hearts. And that will make all the difference in the world because we care about people. Why? Because God cares about people. If you want to be like Jesus, you got to care about people. You got to treasure people. He treasured you enough to go on the cross for you. Why not let him do it for others? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. I open the altar this morning. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here and you've had problems with people that have caused you to push away and shut down and not want to have anything to do with people. Or maybe there's people that you have a hard time forgiving. Hallelujah. And now you realize that unforgiveness will separate you from God. And you can't have that. Maybe you have a hard time just loving people. Hallelujah. Or maybe it's not just the people. Maybe you have a hard time of completely submitting yourself to God. Completely submitting yourself to God. Hallelujah. In every situation. Knowing that it's no longer you, but it's him. It's no longer I. You know, my I has got to step aside for him. I want to be able to yield myself completely to God so that I can forgive perpetually, so that I can love like crazy. Because in and of ourselves, we can't do it on our own. We will continue to see if people measure up to our standard. Instead of throwing out our standard and using God's. And he loved the unlovable. He forgave the sinners. He forgave the harlot, amen. He forgave those, amen, that despitefully came against him, even on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They were killing him, and he said, Father, forgive them. So, Lord, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, because in spite of all our issues, in spite of my shortcomings, Father, you loved me like crazy. Lord, you forgave me when I didn't even feel I deserved it myself. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, help me to fully and completely always give myself over to you, God, to completely, truly yield and surrender to you, Lord, as we stand before and at this altar, Lord, meet us where we are. Meet us where we are, Lord, God, that we can lay aside those things, God, that would separate us from you. Father, forgive us for our arrogance. Forgive us, Lord, for thinking more of ourselves than we ought, Lord, and to help us to yield our lives completely into your hands, that you can love through us, that you can forgive through us, Lord. Don't let forgiveness just stop with me. But help me to give it to others, regardless of how they've wronged me, regardless, Lord, because you see, Lord, and if I'm going to be like you, if I'm going to be like Jesus, your word says that he's not willing that any should perish. And Lord, don't let me perish in a state of unforgiveness. So help us, Lord, to draw nigh unto you. Help us, Lord, God, to let your spirit have its way in us, God, that we can truly be the light and be the salt in every situation, God, in every circumstance, no matter where we might be found, Lord. We are here to do your work and your bidding. We are here to represent you and not ourselves. So have your way, Lord. Help us to bring every thought under the captivity of Christ. Help us, Lord, to bring this flesh under subjection, this flesh that we know ain't even going with us. Help us right now to have authority over it, Lord, to walk in your ways, Lord, and to live according to your word. Lord, that we may learn to love people, to treasure people. Lord, that our hearts would be turned toward people more than things, God. Because we understand all those things will matter nothing when you call us and them home. Help me to lay up treasure, God, in heaven. Where the moth can't get to them, the thieves can't get to them. Lord God, but you will be glorified by it. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you right now, Lord. We lay all our issues before you, Lord, and say, have your way in us and through us, Lord. Draw us nearer and nearer to you, God, that we may live like you want us to live and be who you called us to be. Lord, that we would use our gifts, our talents, and our treasures, Lord, for your kingdom to be a blessing to people. We thank you right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. If you're here and you don't have a church home, amen, I invite you to be a part. Come and say, I want to be a part of living faith. I want to grow. I want to be a part, bring my gifts and my talents. Also, if you haven't given your life to Christ, now is